You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Yeah, isn't that like a sharp pointy stick to the eye first thing in the morning? Guys, I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. Welcome to the show, everybody. Little bit of information about 2A Radio and your host, yours truly, Bill Carnes. I have been in the shooting sports since 1989, which is relatively short if you actually think about it, 21 years at this point. I got my first rifle when I was 19 years old. I guess I was 18 years old when I got my first rifle. I still own it today, Ruger 10/22. I got my first handgun at 19 years old, and there was really no turning back after that. I took my first formal firearms training course for my 25th birthday, and I went to gun sight in Paulden, Arizona, and I finished top of my class in the handgun 250. I was the only one to shoot a perfect score on test day. It's 5.5 days. It's Monday through Friday, full days, and then a half day Saturday. I don't know if that's still the format. That's the only class I've actually taken at gunsight. However, I have been on the property other than that. And what a fantastic experience that was. From there, I went on to be a police officer for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. I've been an NRA certified instructor for a long time, which doesn't really say much. The NRA certification is more of a piece of paper, not really an ability. I moved on to be the lead rangemaster at Front Sight, where I became one of only two guys that have ever worked there as a recognized and qualified five weapons defensive rangemaster. That's where I am qualified to rangemaster the weapon systems, handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine gun, and precision long range sniper, counter sniper type rifle from basic into and through the advanced level. So there's a little bit of qualifications and information on me. You can always find out more at BillCarnes.com, C-A-R-N-S. There is no E in the last name. So BillCarnes.com, you can find more information on me. When it comes to the show, you can always go to 2A Radio. 2A stands for Second Amendment. The official name of the show is the Second Amendment Radio Show. We just shortened that down to 2A Radio. So you can go to 2aradio.com. Plenty of stuff on there, including all of the archives. At the end of each day, the show goes up within about 30 minutes or so, including show descriptions. Every single show since its inception back of March of 2009 is up. Now, what do we discuss here on 2A Radio? Well, the foundation is all Second Amendment related. However, that's not the only thing we speak of. We also speak about First Amendment rights and basically any rights that are out there. And usually we bring them up when some government jackass or some government entity decides to want to consider or just simply does subvert some sort of right from you, me, or anybody else out there. We talk about police and more specifically police abuses from having worked in the policing industry as a patrol officer for Las Vegas Metro. I have firsthand experience in good cops and bad cops and what they do. I speak quite often about guns, gear, tactics, techniques. If you have any questions about guns, gears, tactics, techniques, rights, anything like that, you can always email me. And my email address is bill@2aradio.com. So feel free to send me any sort of comments, questions, suggestions, whatever you like. Oftentimes, say hunting season is coming for big game. You want to sight in your rifle, get some information going on about guns, gear, bullet selection, how to sight in, where to sight in, cleaning procedures, whatever that might be. Send those things in to me, bill@2aradio.com, and I will either answer you directly, or if it's good enough and I feel that the audience would probably benefit in hearing the answer, I'll hold off and I will add it right here onto the radio show. So there's a little bit of format and formula for you when it comes to 2A Radio, yours truly as the host, and really what to expect for this next hour. Stay tuned, guys. There is plenty more to come, and you are tuned in live right here with me, Bill Carnes, hosting 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Boom. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's your host, Bill Carnes. You're listening live to 2A Radio. This happens to be Labor Day. 2010, September 6th. And I want to welcome on the Liberty News Radio Network today. I've been broadcasting the show for about 18 months, and we're on another network, a couple other stations that are out there, and today I would like to welcome the Liberty News Radio Network. I've had an interest in Liberty for quite some time, and as it works out, we're able to get together with the folks over at Liberty. Sam Bushman, the founder and creator of Liberty News Radio Network, and we're now all tied in. So what I'm going to do today is start off by a little bit of an introduction about your host, me, Bill Carnes, and 2A Radio in general for the new Liberty audience that's joining the rest of the daily 2A Radio audience. I am one of probably less than about two dozen qualified five weapons defensive rangemasters in the country. Now, what does that mean? That means qualified to rangemaster and run firearms training courses in a defensive-natured manner, all the way from introductory beginning level through the novice and through to advanced tactical arenas. In the following weapon systems: handguns, shotguns, carbine battle rifles, submachine guns, and long-range precision or sniper or counter-sniper type rifles. There's only a few of us out there. I happen to know two others. One of them is a fellow by the name of Magic Serbiak, who's the guy that I've tried to emulate, as well as Chuck Taylor, who was the world's first four weapons combat master, which is handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine gun. He's also very, very adept at the long-range precision markings. So I am amongst that crowd, and I'm a newer member of that crowd. I actually got completely five weapons qualified about 4 or 5 years ago. So a bit of an infant when it comes to that. I am just now 40 years old. I'll be 41 sometime in October of this year. And that's really kind of the professional background that I bring to this. In addition, I was a patrol officer in the mid-1990s for the Las Vegas Metro Police Department, a department I am highly critical of because I moved to Nevada. I moved to Las Vegas in April of 1980, some 30 and a half years ago. And I've been in and around the area for the most part ever since, with very little exception. So I know the area. I know the police department. I know what goes on. I know there's some great cops that are on there. And I know that there's some really lousy systems that happen there. Coroner's inquests, which is what happens when cops kill other people in the line of duty. Things like that I'm highly critical of. Those are some of the things that you will experience with the rest of the audience here on 2A Radio with the new Liberty Listening Group. Also, I was a contractor for the Department of Defense Special Programs Division at Dugway Proving Ground, and there I served as a lead rangemaster in the tactical weapons operation arena, and earned a ranking as a recognized expert of tactical operations in weapons of mass destruction and anti-terrorist environments. Essentially, what the three-man team, and sometimes we'd have a fourth and even a fifth come in and help us, but the really solid, pretty much full-time three-man team that did this, as contractors, we worked in with the Special Programs Division. We would take groups and teach them to operate basic firearms instruction all the way up through and including getting together in full MOP gear, JLA suits, Saratoga breathing systems and suits, and things such as that, forced air systems, and being able to operate as a team, communicate, and be able to run their guns if necessary in a WMD environment, if it's a biological disaster or a chemical disaster, some sort of terrorist event, and for that matter, even if they end up on a rogue narcotics lab and they need to jog up into certain gear. So that was what we would do, and it was a lot of fun. It sounded pretty sexy. Oftentimes, we spent a lot of office time getting ready for the next group, not because we really needed to, but because we were mandated to. The government red tape is unbelievable. So having contracted with the United States government, never as an employee directly, but as a contractor, as a matter of fact, a subcontractor, it was one of these deals where I really started to understand the red tape and all of the garbage involved. So there is Liberty News Radio Network, guys. For the Liberty audience, that's some background on me, your host. I have my website, which is 2aradio.com. Now, some people think I'm saying two-way. It's not two-way. It's 2A, as in Second Amendment Radio. The official name of the show is the Second Amendment Radio Show. So the A stands for Amendment. 2A, it's not two-way. If it were two-way, I'd be talking, and you'd be talking back. This is one-way radio, guys, unless you happen to want to call in, which if you like, for the Liberty guests, if you'd like to call, it's 866-986-NEWS. Again, that call-in number is 866-986-NEWS, or if you don't have the NEWS set there, it is 6397, 866-966-6397. So at any time you'd like to call in and participate here at 2A Radio, dial up that number, let the board operator know who you are, where you're from, and that's all I need to know, and I'll take your call. If you want to try to snipe me on a couple of questions or catch me off guard, that's okay. Just the only thing that I ask is that you don't introduce some complete non sequitur. If we're talking about First Amendment rights and maybe one of the things where cops are taking cameras away from people, please don't call me and ask me about what I think about the new lightning strike for the Glock 35. I mean, it's just a total non sequitur. Don't do that. We do talk about several things. We talk about Second Amendment rights, obviously. That's the foundation for the show. But it's not the only thing we talk about. That would probably be pretty boring radio after a while. When it comes to the Second Amendment-related things, we also speak about different guns, their gear, tactics. When it comes to hunting season, some ideas about when and where, where as in what distances to sight your rifle in, some of the techniques involved in that, ammunition selection, hand loading occasionally we'll get into. We also talk quite a bit about First Amendment rights and really government subversion of all sorts of rights and where people don't seem to understand what a right really is, what the foundation of that right really is, and government's role. Also, where government has come in to be able to change, alter, subvert. Sometimes they think that they want to grant extra rights. The government hasn't the power to grant a right. They can only grant a privilege. And they can only grant the privileges that you and I and we, the people, actually allow them to. Which brings us to some little thing known as the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment was designed to give a level of citizenship to newly freed black slaves back in the 1860s. The Section 1 of the 14th Amendment is what does that. What the government did was they provided a new form of citizenship that was not the same as the original class of citizenship. So what that means is that the original class of citizenship has substantive due process rights. 14th Amendment citizens have only procedural due process. And that's a huge difference. Government power is virtually limitless when citizens have only procedural due process. And what the federal government has done over the 150 years or so, 146 years, I believe it might be, doing quick math, that the 14th Amendment has been in existence, many of those most recent decades, the federal government has done their best to classify everyone in America as a 14th Amendment citizen and eliminate the original class of citizen, which means that the government giveth, the government taketh away when it comes to rights and privileges. I'll give you a perfect example. You may be familiar with the McDonald versus Chicago Supreme Court gun ruling that came out June of this year, June 20th, I believe it was. The city of Chicago had a handgun ban. And what their entire position was defending that was the Second Amendment was never incorporated through the 14th Amendment. So that means the states didn't need to look at it. Well, the states didn't need to look at it for people who were 14th Amendment citizens. The original class of citizens have an unalienable rights at the moment of birth. At the moment of conception, really, we have unalienable rights. And the government is forced to recognize that through the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is merely a top 10 list. It's not every right that we enjoy. However, when the state of Illinois, through the city of Chicago, says 14th Amendment, you've never incorporated the Second Amendment through it, that only, what they mean is, they consider everyone to be a 14th Amendment citizen with due process rights. Nobody with substantive due process, with substantive rights. Nobody else enjoys that. So they believe that we're all 14th Amendment freed slaves that they can giveth and taketh away. We cover a lot of those things here on this show. We're headed into the first break for the Liberty crowd. So guys, stay tuned. I will be back. We're going to get into some of the stories of the day. Certainly plenty of my opinions. So stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're tuned in right here live to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. By the way, just so everybody out there in listening America understands that each and every day, you can go on and listen to any archives that I've got. You can go to 2aradio.com. Again, it's 2A, not two-way. Two A's in Second Amendment. 2aradio.com. On there, I have an archives page. I have every single archive of every single show I've ever done on there, listed by date, and there's a little show description for each and every one of the shows as well. So feel free to go to 2aradio.com and catch up on anything that you may like. And again, with the radio descriptions on there, if there's something that you like particularly, one of the things I keep up with, for instance, is the whole Immigration Reform Act, the SB 1070 out of Arizona, how it subverted, how the federal government is doing absolutely nothing to really curb the immigration that's going on in Arizona and the crime that happens there. I keep up with that on a regular basis, so if that's an interest, you can read through some show descriptions and actually go through there and just pick and choose a little bit here and there. But 2A Radio. A little bit more information on me is available at BillCarnes.com, BillCarnes.com. A lot of people love to throw an E in my last name, Carnes, which if you do that, BillCarnes.com, it'll take you to the regular site. But just so you know, there is no E in my last name. Somewhere along the line, someone who moved from Ireland over to the eastern United States and then to the western half of the United States, and somewhere along the line, the E was dropped. And yes, in fact, I am some sort of distant cousin to Kim Carnes, famous singer of Betty Davis Eyes, era 1981 Song of the Year, I think, something like that. Who's from Kentucky, Tennessee. I have relatives out there. They still use the E. Anyhow, I don't. But I'm used to other folks using that E when they talk about me. Anyhow, Hurricane Earl came just kind of brushed across North Carolina. And with Hurricane Earl came, with their little glancing blow, came an anti-gun sentiment, a gun-free zone through a state of emergency in North Carolina. North Carolina has a state law that says the following. It is state law 14288.7. It says, transporting dangerous weapons or substances during emergency, possession off premises, and exemptions. A, except as otherwise provided in this section, it is unlawful for any person to transport or possess off his own property any dangerous weapon or substances in any area. One, in which a declared state of emergency exists, which would be the entire state in this case, within the immediate vicinity which a riot is occurring, and let's see, 2B, it says the section does not apply to persons exempt from these provisions in another law, which means cops, to any activities lawfully engaged while carrying out their duty. So it's cops, National Guard, things like that. And C, any person who violates any provision of this section is guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor. Wow. Class 1? Now, as we've all hopefully learned from Katrina in 2005, a gun-free zone during a time of emergency does absolutely nothing to promote safety. As a matter of fact, it helps to promote anarchy and lawlessness. It does exactly the opposite of what the intention of a law is, because people don't think these things through, which is very common with people on the very far left. I don't even think you have to be that far left to just realize that you don't think things through. You just, it's called a fire-aim-fire approach, a knee-jerk reaction. The reason that it doesn't work is only the criminals and then the, I guess, the first responders, you might call them, would be the only ones with guns. Now, the New Orleans PD was nowhere to be found during Katrina, and criminals had their pick of helpless citizens who had no means of protecting themselves. Remember the Superdome? It had a strict no-weapons policy, and there were probably very few among us who didn't recall the squads of really squalid and dangerous conditions that were reportedly found inside the sanctuary, and really these groups of lawless, otherwise armed, or just kind of their own little groups of banditos doing as they would in and around the Superdome. How about the cops that actually murdered the people on the Danziger Bridge? And we're not supposed to have guns. Now, in the wake of Katrina, there was a lot of legislation that went around throughout the country, including at the federal level, but at many state levels, that meant that the unlawful order of only the cops and the responders like National Guard are going to be armed, we're going to take everybody else's gun. Still today, 5 years later, we have no definitive proof of who in the New Orleans sector actually issued the disarmament order. We don't know who did that. But different states around the nation took up the cause and passed legislation that said under no circumstances will we disarm the country. Have you ever heard of a little group called Oath Keepers? I happen to be a member. Oathkeepers.org, I believe, is the URL. Oath Keepers, one of the things that they say on there is they will not abide by unlawful orders. And they list several of them. One of the ones that they list is to disarm the general public. So, Iowa happens to be a state that looked at it but didn't do it. Hopefully Iowa will actually get it done in this next 2011 legislative session. That would be nice. Anyhow, guys, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here live to 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back from the break. You know, rights are rights. They are supposed to be inalienable. Unless, of course, you're a 14th Amendment class citizen, then the government can pick and choose their rights, not just for the entire class of 14th Amendment citizens, but individually as well. And here's a perfect example. This guy is an Iraq veteran, war veteran, who was stripped of his rights to bear arms. And let me give you a little background. Sergeant Wayne Ireland, he re-enlisted in the Army National Guard after 9/11. While serving in Iraq, he experienced a very severe injury, was awarded the Purple Heart. But for some reason now, his Second Amendment rights have been just taken away. And in his own words, what does he say? I really feel betrayed. Now imagine that. We have a guy who technically fits into the original class of citizenship. who has unalienable rights, but those rights were taken away, so he's a 14th Amendment citizen. Now, a year ago, Sergeant Ireland began receiving basically a pittance from the Veteran Affairs because his wife had to take over the family's finances. And he says, how many husbands do you know in America that pay the bills? There are not very many. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm not even going to read that. That is so left out of the news story that I am just referring off of as I go through this story. I'm not even going to hit that. That is unbelievable. Just the lamestream media going at it again. Let's see. The VA declared Wayne Ireland incompetent. And now they believe they have the right to take away his gun. They've taken away his ability to own a gun. It's gone. Because the VA declared Wayne Ireland incompetent. It's wrong. Laws need to be changed. They need to look at individuals and not stereotype them as some sort of a madman, says Sergeant Ireland. Now, you would think that a right is a right, and now if the VA declares some guy incompetent and now his right is taken away, that's no longer right. That means it's always been a privilege. It's always been a privilege. Guys, don't allow the government to make you fall into that trap. If it's a right, it's a right, and the government can't touch it, especially if it's enumerated in the Constitution. I happen to keep a copy right here. You hear those pages? Those happen to be my copy of the Constitution that sits right here with me every single day when I do my radio show. As a matter of fact, not only is it just the Constitution, I also have the Declaration of Independence right here. And every day that I do my show, it's right here next to me, within arm's reach. Sometimes I will mark pages just to make sure I can get to them quickly. Right in the center of this booklet, right dead center, happens to be the Bill of Rights. Wow, imagine that. Where the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Sounds to me as though Sergeant Ireland's rights were infringed. Now, Ireland has been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, from the Iraq War, but his wife says he's never been violent. Lana Ireland told a local news company his diagnosis is not a legitimate reason for his gun rights to be taken away. She says, I was there when they gave him his Purple Heart for fighting for that right to bear arms. And they're stripping it away. Now, the couple didn't know that Wayne's gun rights had been terminated until they went to get a gun out of pawn. Days later, Wayne got a letter from the Arkansas State Police saying his concealed carry permit had also been revoked. And the ATF has told the Irelands that they could go to jail if a firearm is found in their home. So, they don't like Sergeant Ireland. And then his wife, just because they're married, she isn't allowed to exercise her Second Amendment rights either. Now, under what provision? Well, guys, it's not a law. It's a regulation known as the illegal fourth branch of the government. Some people call it the regulatory branch. Some people call it the administrative branch. It's all one and the same. That's where Congress will pass a law, and it will be enforced by some arbitrary bureaucracy that was put together. In this case, the ATF, B-A-T-F-E. Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms, etc., is really the moniker that I have attached to BATFE. So the ATF, otherwise as it's known, writes regulations by the law, which would further restrict provisions. Okay, well, you know, we're going to disallow this, that, and the other, or allow this, that, and the other. Then it goes off to, in this case, the ATF, and they write regulations, which are not the law, but they have the full force and effect of the law. So some bureaucrat can randomly write these laws. Now, the ATF is famous for this. ATF is very famous for this. If you are one federal firearms licensee, FFL holder, if you have an FFL and you have a gun, you want to send it off to, say, a gun test reporter or to someone to run tests on a gun that you've developed or own or whatever it is. You send it directly to them. They do their report. They send it directly back. There is no transfers. There's no other FFL involved, blah, 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 blah. And that all came through the Gun Control Act of 1968. So 42 years of this. What happened just earlier this year? ATF decided that they were wrong. Now everything needs to go through dealers. Huh. So no new laws were passed. However, the ATF, who is responsible for writing the regulations on this, changed effectively the law by a bureaucratic decision that could have come from just one man in his office, which is exactly what happened. So now everybody in the United States is potentially affected by one guy sitting in his bureaucratic chair on his bureaucratic fat behind, stuffing donuts in his face with one hand, writing anti-gun regulations with the other. Hopefully spilling hot coffee all over himself and ruining his suit. We'll probably pay for the suit cleaning anyhow, out of some sort of laundry allowance. Anyhow, that is the illegal, unconstitutional, fourth branch of the government. Regulatory branch slash administrative branch, however you want to classify it. I usually call it the regulatory branch, because there's an administration in charge of the executive branch, so I just like to call it the regulatory branch myself. Anyhow, that is who has effectively stripped the rights away from Sergeant Ireland in his PTSD diagnosis. He says, I'm very upset and will do all I can to make sure that people with PTSD diagnosis will continue to enjoy their Second Amendment rights. Now, the Irelands have filed an appeal with the VA and vowed to fight it. Lana Ireland, Sergeant Ireland's wife, says she will do whatever it takes within the law to get Sergeant Ireland's gun rights restored, from contacting congressmen to telling their story via local and national media. Well, I just helped you out with a little bit of that national media. So, Lana, I hope you and your brave husband, who joined back up after 9/11, get all of your rights restored. Because to have a right lost shouldn't be as easy as one doctor saying, you suffer from PTSD. Really? Well, that's exactly what happened. Now, let's talk for a moment here about the most tolerant city in America. Do we know who dubs themselves? Anyone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. What about the entertainment capital of the world? Raise your hand. Where's that? Well, some people say Hollywood. Most people say Las Vegas. I live just outside Las Vegas. I live in a small town called Pahrump, which is in Nye County. Las Vegas is in Clark County. I live about, as the crow flies, a mile and a half, 2 miles from the county line. I am in Nye County. Las Vegas is about 45 miles or so from where I live, in the Las Vegas Valley. The city of Las Vegas is quite a bit smaller than that huge valley. As a matter of fact, here's a little trivia question for, or trivia fact for most of you. The vast majority of the Las Vegas Strip is not in the city of Las Vegas. It's in unincorporated Clark County. For the most part, the Sahara Hotel, all the way down towards Caesar's Palace and going all the way out past the airport, all of that is in the county. Downtown and, Vegas World, all of that, or Stratosphere. It's not Vegas World anymore. It's been Stratosphere for about 10 years. All of that is in the city. The rest of it, it's all called Las Vegas, but it's not in the city. Anyhow, San Francisco calls themselves the most tolerant city in America. However, they're only tolerant if you're going to stand up and you're going to go against the grain and talk about incredibly leftist ideas, social, commie, certainly pro-gay statements, anti-religion statements, anti-gun statements. Basically, anybody who would be conservative and living in San Francisco, you're going to want to vomit on a daily basis. Now, I know someone who does it. In case some of you don't know, I was a contestant on History Channel's Top Shot, Season 1, which just finished. It started June 6th and ran for 10 consecutive weeks. I was one of the contestants on Top Shot. One of the other contestants on Top Shot, a fellow by the name of Brad Ingman, who was on the same team as I. We were both on the red team. Brad is a highly conservative guy who lives and works right there in the Bay Area. And what a difficult thing it is for him. As a matter of fact, I recently spoke to Brad just last week, about 4 or 5 days ago, and he told me he's looking to make a move to Texas, of all places. So, Texas, a free state, especially when compared to California, and Austin, which is a little bit more liberal of an area. I guess he doesn't want too much culture shock. However, highly conservative compared to San Francisco. Well, a San Francisco transit agency spokesman says the city is in the process of investigating whether a pro-gun set of advertisements, which an advocacy group recently purchased, should have been posted in transit stations. Because they were. Now they're investigating to find out whether they should or should not be. The city has a policy on such ads, and it's very strict and clear. It says that no advertisement shall promote the use of firearms. That's the city's policy. Now, firearms are guaranteed in the Second Amendment of the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights. However, the city of San Francisco says there shall be no advertisement to promote the use of firearms. Really? Well, Paul Rose, a spokesman for the San Francisco Metro Transit Authority, said, "We're reviewing this matter as we speak. I don't have a timeline. At this point, they'll remain up." So, those posters are still up there. Now, just so you know, I have a copy of the poster in front of me. It shows a woman who appears to be of Asian descent and probably in her mid-20s, leaning up against a wall, pushing the curtain just a little bit to peek outside and see what's going on with her left hand, while on her right hand, holding a pump action what appears to be a 12-gauge shotgun. The caption above her head says, "A violent criminal is breaking through your front door. Can you afford to be unarmed?" Then it has the picture, and below that it says, "The 25th Annual Gun Rights Policy Conference, San Francisco, California, September 24th through the 26th at the Hyatt Regency San Francisco Airport. Free admission," and more information. And I have to love it. This is a Second Amendment Foundation and Alan Gottlieb group. And this is their deal. This is taking the Gun Rights Policy Conference, which could be held anywhere in America, right to the heart of San Francisco. Now, you might recall, if you paid attention to the news just a year or two ago, where the citizens of San Francisco had a ballot measure, and they asked the citizens, should we outlaw guns within the city of San Francisco? And it passed. However, it did no good, because if you have a right, people can't just vote a right out. It would have to be a constitutional amendment. So if it's a national piece, it is a federal constitution, a national piece of, recognized rights in your Second Amendment, you can't have your local townsfolk vote that you can't have a gun anymore. Doesn't work that way, guys. But that's the city of San Francisco that we're talking about. So this is the same Metro Transit Authority that recently changed the image advertising a movie, a Mark Wahlberg film called The Other Guys. They caused it to be redrawn. No longer on those posters do the two stars brandish handguns. Instead, Will Ferrell, who's in here with Mark Wahlberg, is holding pepper spray. Really? Now, did it promote the use of firearms, or was it merely a promotion for an advertisement for a movie? I saw the movie. It was relatively humorous. It did not promote the use of guns. As a matter of fact, if you know much about guns and you saw the movie, you would say, I don't really want these guys over here to have guns. They're a little out of line with this comedy here. It was a little over the top. But the San Francisco Metro Transit Authority took it upon themselves to, change the advertisement for that. Now, they still have this picture of this woman standing there with a 12-gauge shotgun in her hand. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they decide to crop it. However, this conference happens in 2.5 weeks. So, hopefully, between now and 2.5 weeks, they'll still have their heads buried where the sun doesn't shine, and they won't have any time to be able to actually do anything about it. And the posters will remain up exactly the way they are. It's not promoting gun rights, promoting gun use, as the city of San Francisco would disallow in their little regulation, city regulation. is promoting a gun rights policy conference. And that's where we sit. All right, guys, stay tuned. Plenty more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in right here to 2A Radio. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back up, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on.
And welcome back, guys. Just at the beginning of the commercial segment, you heard a commercial for NFA Trusts. You can go to BillCarnes.com to look at them. Those are my trusts that I have had put together. Now, here's an NFA Trust. What it is if you want to buy Class 3 guns, like a fully automatic submachine gun or machine gun, the difference is a submachine gun shoots a pistol caliber round, handgun caliber, machine gun shoots a rifle caliber round, or a suppressor, something like that. Silencer, some people call it. In fact, it's actually a suppressor, not a silencer. If you want to own those things, as an individual, here's the process. You have to, first of all, find out if they're allowed in your area. If the answer is yes, then what you do is you write a letter to your police chief or sheriff, whoever's the first in line. If you live in the city, you go to police chief, sheriff if you live in the county. And you ask them a mother may our permission if I can buy said Class 3 NFA item, gun, suppressor, whatever. Then they say yes or no. Then you need to submit that letter, photographs, fingerprints, and a full form to the ATF in duplicate with a check for $200 to ATF. ATF takes it, and they look through, okay, is all the paperwork here? Yes, good, we cash the check. Then it goes to the background department. The background department looks at it. Then it goes over to the approval department. The approval department gets it. Then they send it out. Then you can go get the item. You had to prepay for it. Before you send out all the information to ATF, you actually have to prepay for the item. Get sent to a Class 3 dealer in your area. With an NFA trust, you get a level of anonymity, and the process is faster. When you go to the sheriff, they run a background check. When you submit your paperwork to ATF, they run a second background check. And then when you go pick the item up, they run a third background check. This eliminates the first two. So you just get the one background check, and it's the instant Brady check. With an NFA trust, guys, you don't need to ask the police chief or sheriff of it. And if you do, you know they're going to keep a copy of that, so it's a backdoor registration that the local cops know that you've got an NFA item. This eliminates that. When you send it to ATF, it goes through the is the paperwork all here process? Good. Then it bypasses the background check, and it goes directly to the approval process. Makes it much faster. Then when you get it, you go pick up the item. That's when they run the background check. They don't run the two beforehand. All right? So you can't... With an NFA trust, it doesn't bypass doing any sort of a background check. What it does is it eliminates the first two and just gets you to the third one, which is what the other two are doing anyhow. It just doesn't cost you excess money or excess time, really, and what's going on. So an NFA trust by attorneys is generally $1,500 to $3,000, and it takes between 4 and 8 weeks. I can get you one in a week for $500. So if you have an interest, if you're in an area, go to BillCarnes.com, click on the NFA tab, guys, and look at it. Shoot me an email. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will